Good day. You're listening to European Buddha.
Dear listeners, good morning from the European Buddha podcast. Hope you are safe and sound and cozy these winter days. We're living suspicious times, not only as we are faced with the global pandemic, but as we are facing perhaps the biggest challenge of our lifetime, global warming. As we are recording this episode, the COP26 climate summit is happening in Glasgow. So to speak, the world leaders are making decisions about our future, the future of planet Earth and the future generations. So today we have a fantastic guest, a young Buddhist practitioner, and we're delighted to talk about, from a youth perspective, how the future looks like and what can Buddhism bring to us as we face these challenges. So warmly welcome, Amale, and hi, Martin. Would you like to tell a few words about yourself, Amale, and how are you doing?
Cool, thanks so much. So I'm Amale. I follow the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. I've actually been a Buddhist since I was born. Well, in the sense that my parents have been Buddhist since I was born, and it gradually became my path as well. I'm half French, half English, and currently living in Berlin. But I will soon be returning to the UK to continue my studies to become a secondary school teacher. And actually, the subject that I will be teaching is called religious education, and it looks at basically teaching students about the six major world religions and philosophy and ethics and these things. So yeah, that's in a very brief summary of who I am. And how am I? Today, I'm quite well. I'm excited to be here, happy to have been invited to speak on this podcast. And yeah, maybe that's it for now.
It was so inspiring to hear about your studies and that you can actually study things like that. That's yeah. Amazing. And I think it's very good for the future as well. Would you like to share a practice with us just to kind of settle in?
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. I love having just a little guided practice at the beginning of anything, really, meetings, talks. So I guess it applies well to podcasts as well. So I just invite you and everyone listening to take a moment to settle in our body. We can really just drop the mind into the body, feeling the weight of our body on the seat, maybe we can feel our hands on our knees or our feet on the floor. Really allowing ourselves to arrive in this place. We can allow our breath to flow naturally. And as we lightly place our attention on the breath, it can serve as a sort of anchor in the present moment. We can only breathe now, we can't breathe in the past or in the future. So we can just let ourselves arrive in the present through our breath. And then we can maybe bring to mind our wish or our intention in listening to this podcast or speaking in this podcast. What brought us here? What do we wish to get out of it? What benefit might we wish for ourselves from this? Maybe we wish a moment of ease and relaxation for ourselves while listening. Maybe we're seeking inspiration or connection. whatever it is we can wish it to ourselves. And then we can extend this wish of benefit to the others speaking or listening, that they may gain ease and connection or whatever they wished for. And then we can just drop any images or thoughts that might have arisen with this. Just let everything slip away. And just for a moment, we can leave our minds to rest, just as they are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelie, for this practice. After doing such a practice, I'm often asking myself, where was the problem? Or what was the question? I don't know anymore. I'm fine with it. But here we go. But I think it's very important that you introduced just the present moment, because it's also important for our topic, the future. How do you feel, also maybe as a young Buddhist, about this future that maybe in these times feels a little bit claustrophobic and things are not that possible anymore? People have more concern.
I really appreciate that this question is formulated as how do I feel? And like in that way, it kind of opens up the possibility to actually connect with the me of right now and actually how I'm feeling, rather than a kind of theoretical idea of what's the right answer or what to say about this big topic of the future. So I would just take a moment to check in. So I'm actually speaking from what I feel. I think at the moment with the with COP26 in the news and also in my mind, just even if it wasn't in the news, it would be in my mind. There's a little bit this feeling of I need to know what's happening. I need to understand what they're deciding, and a little bit this kind of intellectual grasping at maybe it's a safety in knowledge in facing the uncertainty of the future. There's a wish to know the information in order to kind of be able to preempt this big topic of the future and what might happen. So I'm noticing that. I'm noticing a little bit of grasping to like wanting to have intellectual understanding as a safety sort of system. And at the same time, there's a less intellectual something else that's also happening, which is weirdly enough, there is a sort of trust when I think about the future. I think I've been quite an optimistic person throughout my life, or at least I've identified as optimistic. And that's also has changed a little bit in the last couple of years. So I'm not sure whether I'm still identifying as an optimist with regards to the future, but there definitely is still a trust in a deeper goodness of human nature. That comes up when I think, how do I feel about the future? I feel that I have something in me that I can trust, and other people have it as well. And so it just creates this, general foundation of trust. It's not, obviously not 100% all the time, but it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, I have to say that when I see the young protesters, on the streets, while the world leaders are coming to meet with their private planes and driving with the black cars. And when I see young people protesting, it's so inspiring. And I always want to join them and kind of, because I think that the change is more like here and now more than ever. Like there truly has to be big changes in our behavior.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that feeds into the trust of just that there is a goodness in every human. When you see these manifestations of that goodness in people who really care and gather together, and yeah, it's true. It's inspiring. Sometimes I feel this word inspiring is overused a little bit, and then it loses its actual meaning. But
maybe it's more like empowering. It's
Yeah, in a sense, it reminds me also about something that we encounter in Buddhism, that we discover that we are responsible for our actions that we take in body, speech, and mind.
Yeah.
And that maybe the future is not prearranged. It is, when we look at it, it's an open situation, and we are pretty much can contribute something to it. But I also can understand the standpoint of there are too many decisions to take. I cannot change everything. I cannot change anything. So a general feeling that it's too much to handle. And I can understand this viewpoint as well when we talk about the future.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think this theme or topic or just the word interdependence is actually such a powerful reality or kind of just way of how the world functions. And the more I can integrate into my understanding of the world that it's just so incredibly interdependent and in such a complex way that I will never understand all the interdependencies, it just, you're right, it creates a sense of responsibility. And at the same time, for me, it creates a sense of kindness of, well, actually, it's so complicated that, of course, I can't change it. The idea of interdependence in Buddhism kind of gives me the framework for holding both an acknowledgement of my responsibility and my power, and the fact that I can change this, I can impact this web of interdependencies. Everything I do does have an impact in this web of interdependencies. And at the same time, it's so big and it's so complex that my impact is not going to be changing the whole world. And that's okay. And I also can't know exactly in which ways what I do will impact the web of interdependencies. So it's somehow, yeah, the Buddhist idea of interdependence contains both the I'm empowered, but also I can be kind to myself when I don't know what to do or I don't know what the right thing to do would be. And I always need to mentally remind myself, actually, there's a lot of corporations or a few individuals who hold much more power than you. And we, as part of this Interfaith Youth Convention on the European Green Deal, one of the proposals that we're making to the European Commission is actually around having a system where all food products would be labelled according to their greenhouse gas emissions. And in that way, it's kind of, in a way, it's giving the responsibility to the consumer, but at the same time, it's giving the information and it's holding the producer or the company accountable in the sense that they can't, they have to be transparent, or they would have to be if this proposal was implemented. They would have to be transparent about what their company is impacting this web of interdependencies, which includes greenhouse gas emissions. And then it's kind of one way of balancing the responsibility between the individuals and also the other systems and structures which impact, this web.
One thing there in the meeting was also a good point that not only the emissions, but the suffering, as we spoke about how to cut the meat and dairy industries production and so on, because it's not only the emissions, but so much suffering that's happening. And how is it even possible these days anymore? As you are, and we are facing these challenges, what gives you joy and kind of when you are really kind of too much information from the news and COP26 and so on, and what gives you joy on these days?
It varies depending on the day, but it's really simple things. I mean, music and going for a walk and looking at the sky and having a conversation or a hug even with a friend, like all these things have such a precious impact on the day-to-day. And actually, those are kind of day-to-day small, what we might call small, but actually have a huge impact on my inner world and well-being. And I think in a way, they have a positive impact because they're all, whether it's music or looking at the sky or hugging a friend, they all connect me back to myself. And I don't mean myself in terms of this kind of image of the self of whatever it might be constructed as, like female, Buddhist, French, English, optimist or not, blonde, whatever. It's not that self. It's this...
Yeah, it's kind of the pure being.
Yeah, I never know what word to use, because if I say pure, then it might sound like puritanical. If I say my true self, then it also maybe true self is. It's always tricky to find the right word, because also different traditions or different people have different associations with words. So I might have a word that connects me with that feeling of my true self, and then for somebody else, it will be totally weird or whimsical. If I had to describe it in two words, it would be joy and ease, and being connected to that part of me.
What about you, Martin? What brings you joy and hope?
I think it would be definitely just sitting, breathing. Mm. It's called meditation.
Breathing is amazing. Breathing is amazing.
Don't even have to call it meditation. As long as you just breathe, you can just do that, and really, feel your life force, and coming from the head into your whole body. Every time I do that, it releases me from my way of thinking how things should be. So I think, Emilia, for you, it's us definitely going into nature.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm enthusiastic about water and swimming. I go swimming every day. It's like the water element is amazing. I'm just stunned about it. I think it's like breathing. And I think it's beautiful when we are connected to something, we want to protect it. Music. I also enjoy like learning to play piano. Like
the other day, a friend said something like music is unnumbing, because we were talking about how when something gets overwhelming, and actually, I guess this could also apply to like eco-anxiety, for example, or anxiety due to anything, fear of the future, all of these things. I have the tendency, and I think it's also relatively common to kind of try to fix the fear by numbing the whole experience. So scrolling through Instagram or, I don't know, watching a little too much Netflix. I say this completely only referring to myself. And actually finding the things that can actually heal the fear in an unnumbed way, I think is so helpful. And it's the same things that we said that provoke joy, like being connected to nature, being connected to loved ones, hugs, music. There's this element of the opposite of numbing. I don't know what to call it other than unnumbing or opening. And it's, you're much better equipped to actually face the fear than when you're just blocking it out with some form of digital entertainment. And really, when I say this, it's completely, I might be slightly judging myself because I do this a lot, to kind of just feel overwhelmed by everything and just numb out with some digital entertainment. I'm definitely not judging anyone other than myself, and I'm going to try and not judge myself too harshly, but I feel so strongly that it's, and I don't want to say not the right way to go about things, because right and wrong is also such a thing where it's so easy to fall into judgment, but not the kindest way. Actually, it comes back to kindness. It's not the kindest way to face fear. A kinder way to face fear is in this open unnumbing, doing some unnumbing activity. Yeah, and cultivating our own joy, a joy that doesn't come from a screen.
And often these ways we discover with people. Mm. Yeah. So it's not just about us. And when we connect to other people, we can learn a lot about kindness, kindness to ourselves as well as to others. Speaking of which, you are involved, Amelie, in the European Buddhist Union, in the youth network there. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah. So it's been the youth within the European Buddhist Union has quite a recent history in an organized way. So we came together, I think it was 2018 in the UK, and then there was another gathering in Vienna a year later, a few months afterwards. And it's there's a group there that had a really, really warm and strong connection in sharing the practices for their different traditions with each other. And so it was really good to kind of get a taste of what it can be to share between European young Buddhists about our traditions and to learn about the other traditions. And so from that, the wish kind of developed and evolved to extend a network, the European Buddhist Youth Network, to any young Buddhist who wants to connect with other young Buddhists, basically. And it's literally that simple. It's just about creating a space where European young Buddhists can connect with each other.
Well, if someone is interested about how to work with the Buddhist Youth Network, what's your invitation for this person?
So they can soon, or maybe by the time the podcast is out, it's already up, they can sign up to the European Buddhist Youth Network newsletter on the European Buddhist Union website. And there will also be an email address there on the website, which you can email with whatever you want to share with the network. So it's kind of, it's a two-way thing. If you want to share an event or something that you're doing or that you know is happening that might be of interest to European young Buddhists, you can send it in, and you can also receive the newsletter to see what other people have sent in.
Thank you very much, Amelie. I really take with me the web of interdependence and trying not to numb myself too much. I think it's a very good, very good point. And this would actually be also my wish when we gather, that we have this in our minds. And yeah, really looking forward and encourage everybody, young and old, to participate in the young Buddhist network. Yeah, I think it's very important to just connect, to feel each other. And from there, many things are possible.
Thank you so much, Amelie, for joining us today and your presence.
Thank you for having me. Maybe actually, as we opened with a practice, do you mind if we, sorry, this is a bit improvised, but do you mind if we close with a moment of practice?
Wonderful.
Okay.
That would be great.
We can just take a moment to land in our body. Just let everything settle. And we can feel gratitude towards ourselves for taking this time to connect and relax. Maybe a wish came up during the podcast of what we want to take with us, what we want to implement. We can hold that wish in our heart as we go about with the rest of our day. And again, we can extend the aspiration that everyone else listening to the podcast may take some benefit from it as well. And we can imagine that through the web of interdependence, that the benefit may spread far and wide somehow, bringing joy and ease to to all beings.